Hello, 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 healthy home marriages family.
Hello.
Y'all, oh, I feel like I sound tired. So anyway, I will try to do better. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us on our marital journey and this particular podcast.
Thank you, thank you.
And before we start, and as I will try to get some, or I sound like I have more energy, we are going to do everything as we do, or start the way we do everything else, and that is with prayer.
God, we thank you for this moment to come before your people. We pray that you will bless us as we speak, and any thought that will come to our minds, that you will give it in your way, oh God, that it comes through with clarity. God, we aim to bless your people. And God, we simply ask that you will grant us to do so. And God, as you give us the words, oh God, we pray that they will prick the heart of those that will hear and that they're able to apply. It's in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. So, if this is your first time hearing, listening, chatting, all the things with us, thank you so much for joining us. We are grateful for your time and this opportunity. And welcome to the Healthy and Whole Marriages podcast, where we like to share with you topics that have impacted our marriages, our marriage, and our lives individually, and more importantly, collectively, because that's what you're here for, right? And then sharing that with you guys, along with some practical tips, tools, biblical principles that we've gathered along the way as well. So tonight's topic, I'm going to let him do the leading on, and it is, y'all have the title, it is how
it's just
to
the
make
the way that you said you're going to let him do it.
Yeah, I say let you lead, like, okay. I usually start.
No,
so
okay.
Today you're going to
listen,
jump into
we will lead together. Tonight's topic is how to make deep conversations less intimidating. Listen, we know that having deep conversations are going to be difficult. It's just a part of marriage. It's a part of life. We're different people. And I believe since we focus in that way as individuals first, that it is important for us to understand that there will be conversations that we're just going to disagree with. The issue, I believe, most of the time is how we handle those difficult situations. So tonight, I just want to give you just a few points, and hopefully something we say, something will be heard that will help you in your relationship journey. I'll start with the first point.
You may as well. You jump right in. There was no like introduction to what the topic. So let me just say this a little bit. I agree with that. Absolutely. I think it's important to have this particular conversation because a lot of people, of course, marry their best friends, right? And some people, they say they don't, whatever the case may be. But even when you're marrying your best friend, there are still conversations that are difficult to have. That's just being realistic about the situation. And then sometimes they may not have seemed as difficult prior to, but then they become a little more difficult after you get married, or become difficult seemingly after you get married. And so you have to have those conversations because they affect or have some type of impact on you individually or your marriage. And these conversations can range from discussions about in-laws. They can range from sex. They can range from financial struggles or finances in general. They could be conversations about traumas, anxiety, fears, a wide array of conversations that can be difficult between a husband and wife that actually, in some cases, may not have even been broached as a topic prior to getting married. So that's particularly why we're having this conversation, because I know personally there were some conversations or some topics for me that were difficult to have, that I felt anxieties about or timid about starting even. And just kind of, okay, well, if it has to come up one day, then maybe I won't bring it up, but then we'll have the conversation, and at least I didn't have to bring it up, and let me test the waters about how much to talk about, all of that. That was something that I experienced earlier in our marriage, and You know, even later, there were times where there was something that may have been the situation for us, we as women. There can be situations at times where maybe, and I won't just specify women, I guess, in particular, but maybe your spouse has not responded initially to a topic the way that you anticipated, and it made you standoffish thereafter, or you were turned off by it, or it shut you down to an extent, if you will. And now it's difficult, it's uncomfortable to try to reapproach that conversation because you actually never had the opportunity to have it based on the initial reaction. So that's the mindset that we're in, or I'm in. I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. So
the first point I would like to just talk about just briefly is the one that we started off with tonight, which is prayer. I know it sounds cliche, especially coming from us, because we talk about praying and prayer all the time. But of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And we should be praying about everything that we do, everything that we say. We should desire to have a relationship with God. But I believe on top of that, praying together does something for a marriage that no book, no counseling, no session, no intimacy could even imagine. When you bring God into the situation, you now have, to me, a person that you won't see, that doesn't have on black and white, but it will be evident within the conversation and within the disagreement that he will come in and do you good. And I also believe what prayer does, it really evens the pace of focus, that we're in this together, that we're not in competition. Listen, let's just put this before God, allow him to be that thread that is needed to knit us together in the way that we need to be. And then we can grow from it. Another scripture I want to give you, of course, the first one was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and I'm going to stop to hear you.
I have a question. What's the black and white?
Black and white is a referee.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, referee, black and white. Okay. James 5:13 says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Again, one of these things that it doesn't matter either way, whether we're going through in a tough situation or things are all well, we should always be right there with God. And then lastly, Psalms 145:18, the Lord is here to all that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth. I believe that, again, when you come together one accord in prayer, that God hears the prayers of the couple, because it is his will that you all are married. And again, he knows that you're going to have disagreements, and he expects you to consult him in all that you do and say to ensure that there will be an amicable way of working out any disagreement.
I absolutely agree, and I definitely have my top, it's always going to be the top of my list, is to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray about all things, in all things. And going that route actually welcomes God in and allows him to go before you, even if he needs to,
right,
in resolving that matter ahead of time, or showing you how to approach that conversation, showing you maybe this isn't the right way, maybe this isn't the right place, maybe this isn't the right time, maybe you should use this particular term versus another word that you're going to use, or tone even, you know. Yeah, all of those things are very, very significant when having those important conversations, especially those difficult conversations. And so, excuse me, for me, prayer has to be at the top of that list if you want there to be a successful resolution
Amen.
To that conversation. And that doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. It doesn't mean it's going to be at the end of that conversation, because that's not always realistic either. But for the likelihood, it's a whole lot more highly possible by way of introducing and allowing God to come in and making sure he's invited in. Because as the Bible says, where two and three agree, he's in the midst, right? Amen. So you want to ensure that he's there, even as that referee, but more than anything, as the solace that you need, as the peace that you need to know that even though it's difficult, he's going before me, he's going to ease out things, and he's going to make it right in the end.
Right.
And I was trying to find the particular scripture. I actually, this now is making me think of the devotional I wrote on YouVersion. And it's the six elements of resolving marital disagreements. But there's a particular Bible verse that just left my mind. And I wanted to find that by going there and sharing that with you guys. But it was more with regards to how God will go before you and ensure that whatever battle, whatever war, whatever situation needs to be handled ahead of time, he will do that for us, just as he did in the Bible days in many situations where they were going to war.
Love it. I was just trying to find that scripture for
I'll
you.
I'll find it, but
definitely, I believe that God is here to help us. And sometimes I really believe that we take the power away from God by trying to handle those things on our own, especially when it comes to disagreements and especially when it comes to difficult situations. It's hard for us to work things out in and of itself. I go back and I think in my mind of something Damia said in a previous podcast where she talks about the Bible being the manual. And when Apple makes a phone, they give you this manual and they give you directions of how to use the different feature on the phone. Just because you don't open up the manual, just because you don't heed to the directions, does not mean that they're not there. However, if something goes wrong with that phone, it will behoove you to go back to the manual first to ensure that you can fix the problem effectively. That's how I feel about prayer when it comes to marriage and a disagreement, and definitely how you can make your conversation less
intimidating. Yes, and I believe
we don't want to intimidate,
right? the referring scriptures,
yes,
for your reference, Deuteronomy 31:8, and then also you can go to Exodus 14:14.
Perfect. I'm moving on. Number two. This was big for me. And again, the stuff that we talk about, I'm thinking about our conversations first at home, because I believe that it's big when you try to talk about something that you haven't really been through. So here it is. Think about what you want to say first. Don't just start going off and blah, 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 blah. You got me. No. Rewind that back. After you pray and ask God to settle your mind, then think. So as a man think it, so is he. You don't want to mess this up by not thinking the thought out. Because once you get into that conversation, again, that's difficult sometimes. When you don't think about what you're going to say, you're going to make it worse. Have a little thought. And make certain that the reason that things don't become worse is that you didn't think about what you're going to say. I feel some real eyes on me right now.
I mean,
I'm just going to stop for a second so I can take
stop.
A breath. No, I need a breath right now.
I saw you smirking and stuff a second ago anyway. So it really doesn't matter about that, how the approach or whatnot is. The situation with the thinking about it beforehand is ultimately that when you put thought into something, It shows that you are preparing. It shows that you care. It shows that it means something when you're putting thought into it, right? And because thought goes into it, then you're a little more careful about the action, reactions, responses that are going to take place. That's why it would behoove you to think about what you're going to say before you say it, right? Because you don't want to just react and then things become worse and nothing is actually being resolved from your impulsive responses, if you will.
Agreed.
When the whole purpose is to come to a resolution.
Yeah, and to be helpful. I believe when you don't think about what you say, it can be hurtful.
Absolutely.
And it's always helpful, especially when you have thoughts or disagreements, that you not only think about it, but you want to say words. And there's a scripture somewhere in there. But to speak kind to one another. And once we speak kind to one another, it helps us to be just this. It breaks that this thought of focus from a vindictive standpoint. You're there to strengthen one another. You're there to grow one another. And once you're able to do that, you're able to give each other the benefit of the doubt when you're saying, okay, I value this so much that I want to think about what I'm going to say. And once I think about what I'm going to say, I'm going to make certain that I say words that define the identity of what I'm trying to say or what I'm trying to reveal, so it's not counterproductive in the process. Short to the point, sweet, from my perspective, but I believe you got to think about it.
Absolutely.
You just have to think. Anything to add?
Not to the thinking. Okay. I agree. Absolutely. You want to think. You absolutely want to think. I will add this part because you hear more often than not men say, oh, my wife doesn't forget anything. So if you feel like you have a spouse like that, if you feel like you have a spouse, whether male or female, that is hanging on to specific words, that hangs on to the way that words are used, then it's definitely significant to be careful about those words, because it's not that they are doing some tit for tat or picking necessarily at the words, but the words mean something, and the words should not be used casually.
Right.
And so when they're having a deep conversation with you, then they're hoping that you're not treating this as a casual situation, but actually thinking that this is important and I put thought into how I'm going to respond, because I know that my response is going to have an effect long beyond the conversation.
Okay. Well, after you think about what you want to say, I believe the next step in this is that you do not start with attacking one another. Again, one of these counterproductive things when you just jump right in and say, well, I told you that this is, hold on. Step back in your heart, step back in your mind, that you all are on the same team. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you get into that attack mode, you have to understand that the adversary is ready to tear this relationship down. He wants you all to go to separation, divorce. So anything that you can put in there to make your spouse further upset, it's going to happen at first when you don't think about it. But definitely when you start off with an attack, make certain that you don't attack one another. Make certain that you start with a thought that it's going to be productive in the conversation. I saw this when I was just looking over these thoughts. And it says this, it is wise to direct your anger towards the problems, not people. To focus your energies on answers, not excuses. And when I thought about that here, I was like, that's really what happens a lot of times, is that we're really looking at the problem instead of the person, and we're not able to really relate who the wife or the husband is in that moment because we're so focused on getting our point across, where we're so focused on being hurt and offended by what was said or what was done that we forget about the person. We're focused on how we feel. And when you're focused on how you feel, sometimes you can spew out things that will be more hurtful than they've ever been before the issue even started. Please, please don't start the conversation by attacking one another.
I agree with that too. I mean, if you are actually thinking, about what you're going to say, then you're going to acknowledge, hopefully, that the first words that come out of your mouth, wait, let me weigh this against if this is going to be seen as an offensive statement. If it said to me, would I feel offended by those statements? And I think that's just the best way to approach it anyway. If what you're intending and preparing to say to your spouse in a difficult conversation, whether it's a general difficult conversation, if you will, or a disagreement, if those initial words or any words that you're going to use, you turn them on yourself, you practice them on yourself, and they may come out the wrong way. Well, okay, they don't come out the wrong way, but they may misunderstand this, so maybe I should use it. That's the type of thought process you should put into it, because again, the whole purpose is to edify your relationship.
Edify.
And be an example of the kingdom of heaven, but definitely not tear each other down, because inevitably, like you said, you'll be creating a foothold for the devil, but you are tearing down each other as a team. You're tearing down the team. You're tearing down the empire. You're creating a house divided, because once you open a door where there's an attack, then there's going to be a defense. And when that happens, no one's going to listen. No one's going to care, because they're going to go straight into, I need to defend myself. And I mean, naturally, right? When you feel attacked, you're going to defend yourself. And whatever else was going on as it relates to that is an aside, because I just know I need to survive in this situation and hopefully come out winning. So that's where people, I think, get thrown off there.
I'm moving on.
Sure.
To the next piece. Start the conversation with a positive thought or compliment. So instead of attacking, I'm saying counter that with, say something positive before you get into the nitty-gritty of that relationship disagreement. And again, hopefully this will help that conversation.
Keep going.
Whoa. I'm just looking at you, looking at me. Okay. So let me give you a couple of scriptures as she looks at me. I know you all can't see this on the podcast, but let's go to the word. Ephesians 4:32 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Make certain that you are kind with your words. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, that goes back to the previous one. You're going to stir up anger if you're going full throttle into the disagreement with attacking. I'm saying start with something positive, a positive thought. Even if you have to get yourself in a positive thought. Before you have that conversation, you got to hype yourself up, go into the bathroom, go into the car, whatever you need to do to get yourself hyped, positive juices flowing before you jump into that conversation. I believe that it will make it less intimidating for you to be positive, for you to start with a compliment, then work your way into what the issue is. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, I wasn't gonna say anything, but
please,
since
say
you,
something.
You've already prepped yourself for this, and feeling eyes on you and stuff. They say a hit dog will holler, right? So I'm trying to figure out on your last points, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, is this, because we're supposed to be sharing what we put into practice. So I'm trying to see your last points put into practice.
I do start with positive stuff.
So you hype yourself up, because when I heard you say, literally, honestly, when I heard you say, even go in the bathroom, hype yourself up before having the conversation, you know what I thought of?
What?
A boxer.
I like that.
Because what are they doing? They're hyping themselves up for the fight, for the defense.
No. You're missing me in that respect.
Okay, so
I believe that it's important that you come in with a positive attitude. So to me, that's still hype, not so much of a defense, but I want to come in with positive energy. I want to come in with an open heart, open mind. I think it's imperative to do that. And again, that's part of my hype. Before I come into that conversation, because I don't want to feel as though this is going to be a fight. I want to make sure that I'm open. And I believe when we feel as though we are attacked, or our values or our morals are attacked, or our thoughts are attacked, mm-hmm. that's when we want to just jump back. Well, if I have an open heart, although I may hear something that I may not want to hear, I may hear something. No, I'm going to hear something I may not want to hear. So in my mind, if I come in a positive way, my heart is open, my mind is open, I've prayed, my mind is where it needs to be. So I'm hyped in order to put myself in a space that's saying, okay, we're going to work through this instead of not. That's it.
Okay.
Not putting on my boxing gloves and mm-hmm. putting in my mouth guard.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to say about it?
Well, I have
besides me getting hype.
I have a flip approach. So you all know that I've pretty much am in alignment with this particular approach and wrote a YouVersion devotional as it relates to it. But also, I guess you can approach it, in somewhat of a more lighthearted way, if you will, if this is a route that you can take or if it will help. And so these are just thoughts, tips, and tools I recall droplets, if you will, throughout our relationship over time, and not something that's like a regular practice or whatnot. But the point is to get you to a place where you're no longer intimidated to have the conversations, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, my first one is to pray. That's individually and collectively. Start off praying by yourself before you go in to have the conversation. And then invite your spouse to pray with you. Hey, I want to talk to you about something that's very important, that's deep for me, that's, you know, hard to discuss, if you will. And I need to pray with you about this. Can we pray together before I start this conversation? That, I think, will break down a lot of walls and barriers and kind of probably ease things out a little bit too, because, you know, when you start off with, let me talk to you about something, I need to talk to you. Immediately, more often than not, you're going to feel this angst. You're going to feel this anxiety. You're going to feel a trepidation of what's going on, what's wrong, what happened, what do I need to do, or what did I do? So you're prepared for a worst case scenario. You're prepared for a defense, because your mind is not going towards a team having a problem, realizing there's an issue, and they're going to come together to resolve that issue. So prayer will definitely help in eradicating and kind of starting to smooth things out even at the onset. Number two, if you find it so difficult to have this conversation and you've even tried it before, I suggest writing it down if that will help. If you know that your spouse is a reader, if you know that your words come across better writing them, especially in a difficult situation, write them out. Leave a note. Create a journal that the two of you can share, where it's something you're struggling to discuss. Okay, so I have something I've written, and I need you to read it. And you may set aside time to do that individually or collectively, but the point is that you've gotten it out. And your spouse is in a better position, and you're in a good position that you've been able to say it and share it. And now the spouse is in a better position to receive it, because they're getting probably more of your heart through the words that have been written down as opposed to you struggling through trying to speak them, somebody becoming impatient. What are you trying to say? I don't know what words you, okay, I didn't like the word you used, whatever. So that's another suggestion. I'll stop there for now. You have something you want to say based on that?
No, I didn't know you were going down.
I told you, mine was a little bit different. Okay. A little bit different, but they go in intertwined, if you will. Go in a pleasant location, if that will help. Because everything you said already goes along with this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need to change the place where we're having these conversations, right? Sometimes we need to, hey, this is kind of like a battleground area. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not comfortable having this conversation here. You could be at home. You could be out somewhere else. You could be wherever. And you feel like it's time to have the conversation. So, hey, let's just go on a drive because I really need to talk to you. Wherever will help you have the conversation to make it less intimidating. Do it in the dark. If you have to have the conversation in the dark because you feel more comfortable then, do it in the dark. Some people call it pillow talk. If it doesn't have to be pillow talk and it literally needs to be in the dark, or back to back, holding hands with your eyes closed, whatever the case may be, to get the words out so that your spouse can better hear you. If you as the spouse receiving this information need to close your eyes so that you can hear adequately and hear from the heart of your spouse, I would suggest you do that as well. Here's a good one. I already said holding hands and I skipped this one. Do it naked. Now, we may have had a couple conversations that were deep, that were easier to have naked. Some people have even said, okay, they literally will wait to have a conversation after they've had sex with their spouse because they're mentally in a better position to hear and receive whatever that deep conversation is, and things don't seem as intimidating because you're both sitting there naked. If that will help you to have the conversation, because you have to stay focused on the fact that you're both on a team that's supposed to be a winning team, and so you're working towards accomplishing certain goals. And if you can't discuss part of the game plan, if you can't discuss part of the things that you all have to do to accomplish certain goals to ensure that you're a winning team, then you're setting yourself up for failure. Those are areas that you're going to consistently end up after a while just blocking each other away from and separating each other from, and then you have the house divided. So whatever it takes, do it naked, do it holding hands. I also have do it quietly. If you have to whisper, because you know that both of your voices after a while get loud. African Americans, by nature, in a lot of situations, our culture, we are loud speakers. We are emotional speakers. We speak with our hands, and that can, in a difficult situation and difficult conversation, now look like an attack. And it's really not. Is this just the way that I communicate? But if you need to hold hands, if you need to whisper, because now it's going to go straight to the heart versus the ears, try that approach as well. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. The last couple ones I had, do it the way that your spouse prefers. If your spouse is saying, I need you to lower your voice. If your spouse is saying, I need you to say this, if it means in a different language, if it means let's talk about these deep conversations before bed at night, or on a specific time each night, or over dinner, or whatever the case may be, because they know that they're in a better space, in a better head space, in a better emotional place to receive that conversation. The point is to be heard, to be seen, to be understood, to edify your relationship. And if that's what will help it to take place successfully, and you still have the opportunity to have the conversation, so win-win. See, a lot of times we get in a position where we feel like, well, if it's not completely done the way that we want, then forget about it. But you're missing the point. You're missing the whole purpose of it, right? Is to have the conversation and to come up with a less intimidating way to have those types of conversations so that y'all can successfully resolve those issues surrounding that deep conversation. And if you get stuck on, well, why we always got to have this conversation where you want to have it, why we always got to do it in the dark in the way that you want to do it, okay, after a while, when it's less intimidating for you, now you can suggest a different way. You can suggest a different place. You can suggest whatever, because now it's less intimidating for you. And lastly, just do it. It can't get any easier unless you have the conversation, unless you start the conversation. And it won't get any easier unless you keep trying at it until it does. So along with your points, I think my points, I had about 9, but they covered about 5 minutes. They go in with his main points, just to kind of, you know, little insertions to, if this will help lighten the load, make it more fun, make it easier, that after you've had this conversation and y'all are naked and then you realize, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought, and y'all get a chance to laugh, like, seriously, that's a win-win. So try whatever you need to do to make it happen, to have the conversation, to make it less intimidating, so that you guys can get to the next most important thing. And ultimately, so that you can maintain your relationship, you can continue to edify your relationship, have that healthy and whole marriage that you desire and deserve. So hopefully this was helpful. These were helpful tips, tools. Hopefully you can apply a couple of them.
Something.
Yeah, because, you know, some might come up before the end of the week.
Especially the naked point. That's a very good point.
Yeah. I even saw recently a couple, they had written in a journal, and they were in bed. They were just in bed having the conversation. So she, in conversation through the journal, she had written out her thoughts that were heavy for her emotionally to discuss. And she passed the journal, and he wrote out his response and passed it back. And then she wrote out hers and passed it back. There were never any words shared. And it was absolutely beautiful, because in the midst of her being able to share that difficult conversation, those difficult feelings, she is healing. She's shedding tears, or whatever the case may be. And I think in the image, you know, the caption was like, it didn't even seem to him that it was that deep of a conversation, that deep of an issue, but it was deep enough that it brought out tears for her. And at the end of it, they were able to hold each other. A beautiful resolution that started off as a difficult situation that could have turned into something horrible had they not taken that approach, right? Nice. So do whatever works for you guys, whatever. And if what you've been doing isn't working as well anymore, try something new. If what you've been doing isn't working at all, if you've been doing nothing, this is exactly why we are suggesting this as an option. But that was just another example of how it can turn out beautifully. Even if you're not naked, you're in bed. They weren't completely dressed. They were scantily clad, husband and wife around each other, so no big deal. But it did what it needed to do, because she was in a position of being close to him as well as sharing something close. A fully intimate situation that turned out beautifully. So
wonderful.
That is it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hope you guys have been able to find, will be able to find something from this that will benefit you personally in your marriage, on your marital journey. And if not, share it with someone else. Make sure you click the notices so that you'll be, or the subscription so that you'll be on notice for yourself or a loved one about these particular topics, so that you will be encouraged, or you can encourage them through these particular words that God has given us, and these biblical principles and these practical tips and tools that we've applied in our marital journey. Going on 16 years now. So as you stated at the beginning, it's not We're not sharing things that we have not been affected by or tried and true through our particular journey. And if we're doing marriage goals, then you have to set the goal and then you have to work towards that goal. And these are just some of the things that we would suggest that would be helpful towards that. Always check out the Bible scriptures along with our tips and tools. Pray about them and see how they apply to your life and your marital journey in particular. But that's all we have for this particular podcast. Whenever you're getting the opportunity to watch or listen, we appreciate you once again for choosing to join us on our marital journey and for allowing us to be a part of yours. So we will conclude the way that we began.
God, we thank you. We praise you. We bless your name for just this time tonight. God, we pray that you will bless us even as we have our disagreements and our frustrating conversations, oh God. Lord, these words and these tips that we've given tonight, God, we want to apply them to ourselves first, oh God. And Lord, we pray that we will be successful in these difficult conversations. And God, that they will be less intimidating. God, we pray for every single person that will view, every single person that will talk about this, even if it's just one point. Even if it's just writing or finding a place or starting off with a positive thought, or most importantly, the way that we're ending tonight with prayer, oh God, whatever it is that that couple needs, God, we pray this very moment that you will show them what to do and how to do so they can be successful in and through you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Yeah. Well, until next time, be healthy.
Be whole. Be blessed is our prayer.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much once again.